I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
Yeah, so we have a shared custody, and the way it was working out at the courthouse, it's like a 50-50. But the way we work it out and the way it actually is, it's very fluid. So we have some structure to it, but because of our relationship, what I mean by that is my relationship with my ex-wife, it's very fluid. So if I need to pick him up, I pick him up.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to another episode of The Dad Experience. Got a great episode. Really excited. Those of you that are listening through Apple Podcast or Google Play, we are actually doing a live podcast today. We went on Instagram Live. And so if we kind of address a question or something in there, know that we were talking to our live audience. So really excited to do that. That's our first one. So hopefully it'll be our first one of many. Today on the episode, we have Peter. Peter is, he goes by Polish Peter, right? Peter is an entrepreneur, a single dad. He's big into the co-parenting as a single dad. He's also a podcast host, so check his podcast out. It's Immigrant Masters Unite, where he talks to different immigrants to the United States usually, and they talk about their experiences and their successes of being an immigrant and being a part of American culture and bringing their culture in and being successful in business. So Peter, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it because I know it's been kind of a long time coming for
it
us to get
been.
This thing, and it's mostly on me. But I'm really privileged to be on here, especially on the Facebook Live, man.
Yeah, no, that's great. We're really excited to have that and have those folks along for us. So, Peter, we always start our show off with who lives with you at home and what is the makeup of your household or your family?
Well, so to give you a little bit of context, or like I'm divorced, right? I got divorced in 2011. And I have three kids. The oldest one is 16, the middle one is 12, and the youngest one is 11. But when it comes to living in a house, I just live by myself.
Okay. And then you share custody, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we have a shared custody, and the way it was working out at the courthouse, it's like a 50-50. But the way we work it out and the way it actually is, it's very fluid. So we have some structure to it. But because of our relationship, what I mean by that is my relationship with my ex-wife, it's very fluid. So if I need to pick him up, I pick him up. And if she needs to, it's not like, you know, we meet in parking lots. And it's not like, you know, we're very structured, like, well, you can't have him here right now because I'm supposed to have him. So it's very fluid. So, but as far as like on the books, it's like a 50-50 kind of a thing.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. That's great that you guys can meet that common ground and make that happen, because you don't always see that a lot. I don't know if you have many friends that are in co-parenting situations that are divorced or separated, but you don't always see that, you know. Hopefully more now with societal changes and what's happens within the courts and within the system, but you know, you don't always see that. That's great. And it's usually it sounds to me, and I don't know about you, but it sounds to me it's what you try to do to make it the best interest for your kids.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what it is, because, you know, they're in the middle of it kind of thing, right? But I think the more important thing to look at it is the mindset change that needs to happen for both the parents. Because a lot of times what happens when there's a divorced, relationship happening is that the woman doesn't talk to the man, or vice versa, and they don't have this, you know, relationship where they can have a conversation, where they can, you know, co-parent effectively, you know what I mean? And what happens is, because of that, that's where a lot of the problems, I think, occur. So for me personally, I mean, after the divorce, I had to make that shift that, listen, whatever happened has happened, right, between both of us, and there was a lot of hurt for me, because she initiated the divorce, you know. But in the end, what I looked at it is like, okay, I need to be on the same page with her to be able to co-parent effectively, and vice versa. And more importantly, I need to be the dad that my kids would want to be one day for the boys. And I need to be the person, the guy who, let's say, my daughter will want to marry one day. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like? Does that look like I'm going to be not talking to her? Does that look like I'm not going to be, you know, saying things about her behind her back and that kind of stuff? No. It looks like I need to show him as an example of what that looks like to be a, you know, great dad and in the future for my daughter, a great husband, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. So you talked a little bit at the top of the show how you make it kind of a fluid parenting system and trying to just, it's 50-50, but you try and just make whatever work mm-hmm. for whatever schedule. Can you kind of run us through maybe some of the day-to-day activities or how your weeks are set up, like on a given week? So if your kids have band practice, how do you get them to band practice or soccer practice or, right. you know, art lessons, whatever it may be, how do you guys kind of handle that together?
Right. So on the structure, like out of the court system, the way it works for us is I have him every other weekend between like from Friday to Sunday evening. And then if, let's say I have him this weekend, then on Monday, you know, I take him directly home. I pick him up from school all the time, right? So I take him directly home. And then I have him for a longer period of time on Thursdays before the weekend that she has them. So there's not a big gap between me seeing the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the weekends that she has them, on Monday, I have them longer because they haven't seen me in a long time. So that's on the books, right? However, the realistic way, the way it looks like is because of what I do for a living, that I have my own company, I've designed my life in such a way that I can go and have more interactions with them. So like my work, I've set up my hours between 10 o'clock in the morning and about 2:30 in the afternoon. Because what happens is in the morning, I drop him off, and in the afternoon, I pick him up from school. And I love that, you know? But the thing is that I want to, for people to listening to understand is all that comes from my communication with her and vice versa. That's where it all starts. If you don't have the communication between those two, then all that thing he says, she said happens, and, you know, they're not, you know, they're not being effective. So when it comes to picking up at school or bringing to the practice, or for instance, like one of the things that I do because of, you know, what I do for a living, I travel, right? So I go to run the 3-day events around the country. So what happens is I have a freedom to actually have a conversation with her, pick up the phone and call her and say, listen, I need to, you know, go out of town this and this day. And as long as I can give her some kind of a, you know, schedule, like 2-3 weeks ahead, we can come up with a common plan that's going to work for both of us. But it starts from the communication between both of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's where it all starts. And it allows us to, you know, it's give and take. So there are times where I'll go pick him up. And what I think happened for me is I had to give up being right about how it should be. Because that was like that for me for a long time. And when I give up being right about how it should be, then if she calls me and says, listen, can you go pick him up because I can't do it? Can you take my daughter to the doctor here or whatever, right? Our daughter, right? Mm-hmm. And when I give it up, I'm like, if I have free time, no problem. I'll do it.
Right.
And right. that goes both ways. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So. And communication is so important. Like you said, it comes up on the show more often than not. Like the biggest solution to everything is communicating, whether it's with the kids or with your your significant other or whatever. Yeah. Communication is so important. So how old were your three kids when you guys transitioned from, you know, the right. single family household to the co-parenting household?
So my oldest one was 8 years old. And my younger ones were, I think, 3 and 4 years old.
Okay. So the younger ones, they probably don't necessarily totally remember the household being...
They remember some, you know, because we did a bunch of stuff at home or whatever. But the older one remembers definitely.
For sure.
And it's funny because my parents got divorced when I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it hit me one day. I was like, holy cow. I mean, my parents got divorced when I was 8 and I got divorced when my oldest one was 8.
And you're the oldest, too.
Yeah, and I'm the oldest, too. And it hit me, like, what it was probably like for her to go through that.
How old was your sister, then?
My sister? Well, she's...
I'm just... How old were they when they were divorced? So if you were 8, she
Oh,
was...
yeah. My sister, when she was... Oh, she was about my kid's age.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I wonder if that's, you know, that was kind of like...
So the impact, I think, on them was different forever. And a lot of it has to do with how they are as a person. You know what I mean? Their personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, different, you know, my oldest, I know she probably took it differently than young, but the kids are resilient,
right.
You know, and they go through stuff and we sometimes have a conversation about it, you know, and see mm-hmm. what happens, you know.
So how did you handle that? I know they're 8, they're 4, and then maybe for a listener that might be going through this or in the process of going through, how did you guys communicate that? Was it together? How did that happened, if you feel comfortable telling us, like when you told the kids.
Right. Well, listen, well, I'll be honest. When she first approached me and told me that she, you know, wants the divorce, I was not handling it well at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like in the dumps. Like most human beings,
I mean.
In fact, the company that I had at the time, I completely let go of the entire company. It just went down to nothing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But for the longest time, I was so angry with her that she was doing this until I finally like looked at her and was like, listen, we're kind of both in the same boat here, right? And my whole view was like, well, when my parents got divorced, all the bad things that were happening to me, right? Mm-hmm. So I went back to that time. So, you know, automatically, I was looking at my oldest like, this is what she's probably experiencing, right? So until I finally like got out of my own head and started looking in their conversation, like, listen, what's it like for you, you know, we're here, we're both, nobody's leaving. You know, we had that kind of a conversation that neither one of us is, you know, leaving, not going to be there and all that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, we're going to be in different houses, but you guys are going to be able to spend time with both of us and all that kind of stuff, right? And at first it was kind of awkward. I think it was mostly for me and maybe for them, but as we started growing more and more, spending time, I think everybody got used to it, you know what I mean? And now we kind of, you know, one of the good things about it is that I have me time with just the kids. So if there is anything that came out good, which, you know, divorce is never a good thing, I don't think, unless it's something that has to do with, like, you know, abuse or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one good thing, I guess, came out of it is that I have just me time with the kids.
Right.
And she does too. You know what I mean? And that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I cherish the time a lot more with them. Like, listen, like right now, because of the amount of time that I have to spend with them, which is less than what was before, it's a lot more intentional.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You look for not to waste that time because you have so much, you know, and you hug them more, you know, and you say, I love you, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, because it's so much better.
Well, I admire that the positivity that you take from all that and kind of gotten yourself through. That's impressive. So during that a change and that adjustment, you know, and it affects all the kids, no matter their age, how old they are, how young they are. How did they adjust to that change and how was the transition? Was it a big struggle? Did it kind of just settle in quickly? Was it over time? Was it over a lot of talking? How did you guys kind of manage that change for them?
Well, it's difficult kind of to say because none of them really like all of a sudden started being different. You know what I mean? I think that what they were trying to do as kids is trying to look at like, how do I fit into this whole situation, right? And what do I do? So I had to look at from kind of like their point of view and see like, how can we help them with this transition?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I need to be as a parent and kind of being there listening to see if there is something that they're trying to tell me about this whole situation, right? And I know that, you know, they have different personalities. So, for instance, my oldest, she is very pessimistic. And that probably had something to do with the fact that she's pessimistic, like that had a different impact on her than my youngest one. And you know my kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my youngest is very positive and about it, you know? So he's... But I've noticed that I think over time, the relationship between me and them got stronger depending on who they are as a person, right? So, for instance, my youngest, he's very, person wants to spend a lot of quality time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know if you guys talk about on this show about love languages. Have you ever heard about love languages?
Oh, yeah, I've heard about love languages. Yeah. In education, we hear about that all
right.
the time.
So that's what I actually have to look at for my kids, right? My love languages. So for instance, my youngest, his love language is quality time. So I've noticed that a lot more after that. He wants to spend more quality time with me, you know? So I had to give that to him, you know? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. Does that answer your question?
No, that does. It makes sense. It makes sense. And then, you know, how you're, I'm interested in your older daughter with that transition and change. Was there a lot more talking and communication or was just something?
No, she kind of shut down a little bit more. You know, I mean, she didn't want to talk as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because to her, I think because of the fact that she was being so pessimistic, she's like, well, nothing going to get done. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So why should I talk? Right.
Right.
And that means that I need to be a lot more in her listening. If she doesn't want to talk, give her that space.
Right.
And then when she decides to talk, we'll talk.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And you have a great, and it's I just need to reiterate that you have a great relationship with your kids. I see them. For those that you don't know, I didn't kind of say it at the top of the show. Peter and I are, we're not related, but he's kind of like a brother to me. He's married, his sister is married to my brother. So we're always together at family events, yeah. And I'm around his kids all the time, and he's a great dad. So I admire a lot of what you do, and I pattern a lot of my parenting after what I've seen and how successful you are with your kids. So, you know, kudos to you for managing just the whole life. I mean, it's just managing and going day to day as a parent. You know, you're learning as right. You go, and you learn from each other. So that's so important. So what do you think, you know, we've talked a lot about the positive. What do you think has been the most difficult thing to manage as a co-parent?
Well, first and foremost, I really appreciate you saying that earlier about like you looking at me, because I don't think I'm all that great, but I appreciate you saying that. So that means a lot to me. But as far as the most difficult thing, I kind of thought about that when you mentioned it. What is the most difficult thing? And I don't think it so much has to do with my kids as much as it has to do with me. And what I mean by that is when it comes to dating life, because of the relationship that I have with my kids and the relationship I have with my ex-wife, like we communicate, we talk on the phone, you know, I'll sometimes go over there and drop off the kids and all that kind of stuff. And the other person, you know, I start dating them, they don't get that because this is not how it is typically in society.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Why do you need to talk to her? Right? That kind of stuff. And I think that has been the most difficult thing to have those kinds of conversation because, you know, and I've said to, you know, the people that I dated, say, listen, this is not about me and you. This is about me showing an example for my kids. What's it look like to be the great dad and what's it look like to be an awesome husband? And this is my view of what I'm going to show to them, how to do that. So that's what kind of drives me. And whether or not that's true, I don't know, but that's how I look at it. So I think that has been the most difficult thing because it has affected some of my relationships, you know, when I'm talking to people and even like not just the girlfriend kind of a thing, but other people in my life as well, you know?
Right.
Because that's not a normal thing in the society.
No, but at the end of the day, and it's hard too, especially if you I would imagine if you date somebody that doesn't have children. I mean, children become the number one thing. I mean, they are your number one priority. You're teaching them to be functioning members of society. You're teaching them to be good role models. You're teaching them to be good human beings. So that is your number one priority because they're learning from you. I mean, they may be going to school, but in infancy years, they're not learning. They're learning from you. And even when they go to school, they take a lot of the patterns that you learn at home and take them with them into the real world. So those are the priorities, and those shifts have to happen. And you know, that's important, and I'm glad to hear that you do take that as your priority. This is a great place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can catch our podcast on their app. You can get that app at the Google Play Store, the iTunes store, and stick around after this episode to catch a sneak peek at another great episode from the Parents On Demand Network. So stick around after the break. We have more with Peter. We're going to talk a little bit about what he does and for a living as an entrepreneur and talk a little bit more about his kids and family. And we'll continue having our folks that are listening through Instagram Live. So thanks and welcome to those folks that are here. So stick around after the break. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. For our Instagram listeners, it was a really, really short break for those of you listening on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. Thanks for sticking around. We're here with Peter. Peter is goes by Polish Peter. He has a podcast, Immigrant Masters Unite. He's an entrepreneur, and he's just a great all-around dad. We talk about co-parenting at the top of the show, so we're going to kind of continue that and talk a little bit about culture and his children. So Peter, like I said, he himself immigrated from Poland. How old were you when you came?
14.
He was 14 when he came to the United States, and is a very successful entrepreneur. But more importantly, how do you guys incorporate culture and your heritage within your parenting? And why do you find that important to embrace that culture and have your children embrace that culture?
That's a really good question because of the fact that, especially what's going on kind of in this country, right, mm-hmm. right now. But I think the culture, whatever the culture may be, I think it's important to instill that in the kids because culture provides value and creates beliefs for people that is, you know, beneficial in so many ways, you know what I mean? Because I think when you are growing up and you get to certain stages where now you're trying to find yourself, who you are as a person in the society, right? And you look at the culture that's been passed on from you, and, you know, because I think Polish culture, for instance, right? We persevere. We're the type of people that persevere and we don't give up. So me to instill that, right? Or the different traditions that we have from my Polish, you know, where it's around Easter or around Christmas or whatever. I love giving back to them because it's fun. I want them to pass it on to their kids and be able to be proud of who you are as a person. Not because you're Polish, but because who you are as a person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I have that conversations with them.
Yeah, no, and it is, and it's great. Have they traveled over to Poland? Or?
No, not yet. That's actually on my vision to have them within the next 2 years, to have them over there.
Great. That's neat. That's a great experience. Which, I mean, I did it. I don't know if I do it, tell people to do it, but I'm first generation on my dad's side here from in the United States. My dad's Maltese, and my whole family lives in Malta, and we took our kids, and my grandma's older, mm-hmm. and I wanted them to meet their great-grandma. So yeah. We went, and we're going again this summer. I said, and you can go back on one of the episodes on the podcast, I didn't think we'd ever do it again at this age. My kids are 2 and almost 3, and our youngest just turned 1. So it's the people around us aren't always the most happy, but you know, ultimately, the culture and experiencing that culture and being with that family and getting to meet their great-grandmother and seeing that, and it's more for me for that point, but still getting them to see that and know that their family's there. Some of my cousins over there are my best friends. We travel together. We meet. We travel. That's how we were since we were kids. So me getting to embrace that culture as a child, I went for the first time when I was 5, has stuck with me, and I'm so proud of it, and I brought it back, and I'm educating people about the culture and about mm-hmm. where Malta is. So it is, and it sticks with them, and it's so important to be able to do those things and expose our children to culture, because it makes them, like we said earlier, it makes them better members of society and better human beings. You know, we're not just in this bubble in where we're at in Michigan or in the United States. There's more to this world than just here.
Right. And listen, and when I came here when I was 14, I was speaking English, and I ended up in high school in Hamtramck here in mm-hmm. Michigan. And that particular high school is like a melting pot, right? There are so many different cultures in it. And I think for people living here in the United States or anywhere for that matter, the reason why you want to have experience with different cultures, because it allows you to see from a different point of view. It doesn't have to be just this one way, right? There are so many different ways to looking at this situation. And when you're exposed to different cultures, it allows you to, I think, have a richer life.
No, absolutely. And yeah. I think you're more successful. I mean, just thinking, it popped into my head is, you know, when we were kids, when we were younger, in 1985 was the first time I went to Malta. It wasn't easy to travel. It wasn't easy to get on an airplane. There weren't video screens in every TV seat. There weren't Walkmans yet. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot. So to travel, there wasn't. So it wasn't easy. People didn't do it. You didn't travel internationally. Business people did. And it just didn't happen. And now with the advent of technology being so much better between FaceTime or, you know, Google Hangouts or whatever, on top of that, as well as travel being cheaper and easier, our world is getting smaller. Yeah. And it's more important to understand each other's culture than to be just, well, we live in the United States, we travel in the United States, so that's what I know. And I think between business, and we can talk maybe a little bit about that here in a second, but between business has become international because you can do things online. Oh, yeah. And it's so important because you want to be a better person and you want to be a better you, and you want to be a better you for your kids. So I think all that together makes it just a better, you know, opportunity for everyone.
Totally.
So, yeah. So, you know, we talked a little bit a few times, and for those of you that are listening, those of you that are on Instagram, we talked about your podcast, Immigrant Masters Unite.
Yep.
And can you tell us a little bit about that? Maybe give us a little elevator speech on what that is and how often it happens?
Right. So I appreciate you saying that. So, yeah, the podcast started basically from an idea of looking at the immigrant community in the United States and the successful immigrant community. Because if you look at the statistics, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but 2017, which was a couple of years back, and it's very similar to 2018, but 2017, 43% of Fortune 500 companies, the big ones, were founded by first or second generation immigrants. almost half of the Fortune 500 companies. So why is that? How is it that they're making it so successful here in the United States, you know? And why are they able to grow such a huge corporation? So I got really curious about it, and that's where the podcast started, to get into the minds, into those successful immigrants, trying to dissect and figure out what are they thinking, how are they doing stuff, what are their systems that they're setting up, and how they're looking at culture and all that kind of stuff. How do they assimilate here in the United States, right? And that's where the podcast kind of originated from, and now it grew to now I have a mastermind out of this, you know, the mastermind with successful immigrant business owners, and it's just, I love it, because you get to really get to talk about learning a whole bunch of different stories.
And our listeners and folks at our Instagram, they can get it on Apple Podcasts or?
Yeah, everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. All the episodes actually are on my website as well, so they can go and look them up there.
And we'll put your website and everything on our show notes too, so you guys can access that stuff. Tell us a little bit about what you do. I'm always fascinated about what you do. And you never know, there may be somebody out there listening that wants to be that next, you know, entrepreneur to do something and get in touch with you. Can you tell us a little bit about your business and what you do as an entrepreneur?
Right. So basically what it boils down to as an entrepreneur, I am a coach and I am a business growth expert. So those are the two big things that I do. So a lot of my clients or students, because I have coaching students, and what we end up doing is figuring out what they want out of life, right? Because most of the time what happens to entrepreneur, they are looking to like, how do I run my business? How do I make it successful? But if you really think about it, you can't separate those two things. Life and business can't separate it, right? Mm-hmm. Especially for immigrant communities. So many immigrants are like hard workers because they want to seize the opportunity they're given here in the United States. And they end up working 80, 100 hours a week. And what ends up happening is what? Your life doesn't work, right?
Right.
You're barely ever home and all that kind of stuff. So first we try to figure out what that is, and then how do we make the business work around it and for you? So I've set up my business where I work from 10 to 2:30 in the afternoon. So I work about 25 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm helping these people to do that. So through that, through coaching and the mastermind level, then, you know, I help them create the life that they really want that's going to not only support them, their families, but actually the society around here.
Right. And we'll put all that, your podcast, we'll put your business website all on there. So folks want to get a little bit more information or looking into being more successful as a startup business owner or just in life, that they can contact you and kind of get more information about that. So we're going to do our reoccurring segment here. We, on every show, we always ask our guests that come on, what is the thing that you can't wait to see or experience again through your children's eyes? You may have already experienced it because your kids are a little bit older, but what is that one thing that you're excited about? It could be anything. We've had movies, we've had trips, we've had just life experiences. What is that one thing that you cannot wait to relive again and see through your kids' eyes?
Well, I was thinking about that, and it was really hard for me to answer that because there is, I don't think that I can really have them experience the same thing as I did, right? Mm-hmm. But what I always look for in my kids, to see that light bulb go off in their head about something, right? They get something like, huh, I never looked at life that way, or I never thought it was going to be this way. Like the light go off, the excitement, right? That's what I always look for, because I know that I have some kind of a good impact on them, that it's going, you know, they're growing, because it's about experiencing life that way. When you have that or excitement, we go to Kalahari, and I love going to Kalahari because not only the kids, because they know very well how to do that, but us parents, adults, can actually become a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and seeing that excitement and just going crazy, that's what it's about, you know? So, yeah.
No, it's awesome. I had an experience similar to that. I took my students to Disney, and I was on the back. I was in It's a Small World, something. I think it was It's a Small World. And I started, like, I saw this family in front of me, and they're all, like, pointing everything out. The kids were just in awe. Mm-hmm. And I started crying in this ride that's supposed to be in the happiest place on earth. Because I'm like, my kids are at home and I should be experiencing with it. But those are some things that I can't wait. You know, I can't wait to see that. So it's fun to hear
when
you say that.
When your kids get older.
When they get older. Yeah. I can't wait to do those things. But thanks so much for being here, Peter. Tell us how folks can find you. Our Instagram, we've got that going live right now. Maybe some of those people will follow you. Go follow him. How can they find you? What's Facebook, your social media, website, whatever. It's your time to let folks know about where they can get a hold of Peter.
Well, dude, thank you for having me on the podcast.
No
thank you for allowing me to share. So on Instagram, just Google Polish Peter, and you'll find me on there on Instagram. Google Instagram it. And on Facebook, go to Peter Kolat. That's K-O-L-A-T. And I do a lot of Facebook Live, so I share a lot of those kind of golden nuggets, so you can totally see that. Friend me. Just listen, when you friend me, let me know you came from the Adam's podcast, because there's so many things I get that are like, who is this person, right?
Right.
And they're kind of odd.
Yeah, so let them know that you're from the Dad Experience.
Right, exactly, from that experience. And then you can find me on my website, mastersunite.com, and that's where I host all my, you know, podcast episodes. There's some really good stories on there. And you can just connect. Listen, I want to help people. This is what drives me. This is what my vision is. I want to have impact on their lives. So if you have any questions, you know, message me on Facebook, whatever, and we can get the conversation started.
Awesome. Well, those are great things to do. So thanks again. It's really excited for folks out there that are going to get this through Apple Podcasts. But thanks to our listeners that are joining us or have joined us through Instagram Live. Don't forget the Dad Experience, part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get a hold of us at experienceanddad@gmail.com or get us at Instagram, the Dad Experience. And shoot us a question. If you have a question for Peter, you know, we can always reach out to him or have him on again. Or if you have a show idea or you want to be on the show, let us know. Send us a message on Instagram or shoot us an email. We'd love to have you. And thanks so much again for joining us on The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents On Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.